This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. It is Monday, 50 right now, low of 38. Not quite like last week, but still fantastic. Tomorrow, high of 56, a low of 50 tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we have rain and some snow also. 51 is a high, 22 is going to be the low for Wednesday. Well, a recent survey found that traders now see a slightly more than a 50% chance that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates at its two-day meeting ending March 15th. But let's talk to a Fed insider, a woman that worked at the Federal Reserve, Danielle DiMartino Booth. She correctly predicted the housing crash of 2008, then quit her high-ranking Wall Street job before she was recruited to become an analyst at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. She's got a brand new book, Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America. Danielle DiMartino Booth here on WILS. Great to have you, Danielle.
It is great to be here. No gray area in that subtitle, is there?
Yeah, that pretty much says it all. When did you get that feeling that the Fed is bad for America?
Well, I got the feeling after the financial crisis had really come off of a high boil and the economy had just slumped into its slow meandering growth pace, mm-hmm. and the opportunity inside the Fed was upon us. I was on the inside at the time to recognize, you know what, golly, we didn't see this train wreck coming, so clearly something is wrong in the way we analyze the world. Let's do something about it. No, there was none of that.
So was
and that's
it, was
when I started to
after,
really get fed up.
Was this after the quantitative easing that the Fed went through?
This is after quantitative easing had uh-huh. started, okay. and boy, we're convinced that if we buy all the securities in the world and blow up the balance sheet and embark upon things that our models tell us that they're going to work.
Uh-huh.
So surely the theory is going to work well in practice, right?
So, and as QE was happening there in the Fed, and you're inside the Fed, then what were there any concerns about going too far with that? Or?
Oh, there were plenty of them. There were people like Richard Fisher, who I advised for 9 years, mm-hmm. who were kicking and screaming, and you know there were his advisors in the background like me who were saying, "Wait a minute, you're administering the wrong medicine to the patient. This is not going to do the patient any good. In fact, it might do the patient, the U.S. economy, more harm than good. Can we stop and reassess?"
So what was the feeling, that if they stopped the QE that everything would fall apart? What were they thinking?
Well, look, QE, bear in mind, history 101 here, ever so briefly, the Fed caused the crisis in the first place. The Fed kept interest rates too low for too long and ended up feeding this subprime mortgage mania in the first place. So they got themselves into the pickle to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, the world was truly about to melt down. It was DEFCON 1 and QE 1 was probably necessary just to open up the liquidity spigot again, because it was a liquidity issue that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Zero interest rates were not a necessary precursor to QE 1. But after that had happened, and the market was screaming and throwing this tantrum and that tantrum, and the stock market was saying more, 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 that's when I should have put the brakes on and said, you know what, just because investors are clamoring for more of the heroin, we're going to cut it off.
And so how does the Fed work in terms of coming to its decisions? Is it a logical process, would you say?
Well, it's logical if you're an academic.
Uh-huh. So, okay.
I don't know if it's logical if you live on planet Earth, but it's certainly logical in a textbook, in a model, using very complicated statistics and calculus, all of things, you know, I studied, so there's no intimidation factor, but there's also no recognition for, gee, how is this going to play out in the real world? Let me think, is sending grandma to Vegas to buy junk bonds a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my model says it is. So let's do this. Mm.
So what about Danielle DiMartino Booth, by the way, with us? Her brand new book, Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America. What's your take on what's happening right now? Is the Fed doing anything right at the moment?
Look, the Fed is about to, as you just said, the Fed is about to raise interest rates again. And this is a situation where they're trying to play catch up, but I won't even say it's too little too late. It's going to be too much, way too late. Mm-hmm. The 10-year Treasury is kind of the metric in the market that I watch the most closely, if you will, because it tends to take a good pulse of the U.S. economy. And the weakness we have seen of late in the yield, the decline that we have seen in the yield is telling us something about where we are in this economic recovery, mm-hmm. which is pretty darn long in the tooth.
So what does that
pretty
mean?
Far
so,
down
so as
the
interest as the interest rates go up, what's going to happen?
Well, it will not take much to put this economy into a recession. That's the bottom line. Okay. That's the message that the markets are sending out right now.
And you think we're basically right on the edge of a recession right now?
I mean, edge is a big word, but I would say that we're certainly within 12 months.
Of a recession, okay. And so is there anything the Fed can actually do then to try to mitigate that?
Well, they can try and expedite it. But as far as mitigate goes, I'm sensing there's a lot of politicking going on right now inside the Fed, mm-hmm. because they feel that their institution is potentially going to be under siege.
Hey, so, what do you make? Because that was the accusation from President Trump that there was a political decision to hold interest rates down before the election. Do you agree with that?
I agree 150% with that. Absolutely.
So they have.
I think it's really easy to pass all kinds of legislation, and it's really simple to pass more burden onto hard-working American taxpayers if you keep interest rates so low, mm-hmm. that as a politician you're able to say, you know what, I reduced the deficit by 2/3 while I was in office. Mm-hmm. That's really easy to do. It's just simple math.
So
Fed kept interest rates low.
Janet Yellen was essentially doing that to try to get Hillary Clinton elected. Was that a calculation there by her?
Look, her resume speaks for itself. She's a UC Berkeley educated labor economist. Mm-hmm. And I have nothing against UC. I have nothing against UC Berkeley. And I have nothing against labor economists. But Janet Yellen was definitely intent on pulling that last marginal worker back into the workforce, even if it meant setting up the average middle income American for disaster in their 401ks by pumping up asset prices too much. By the way, again, same thing we saw in the 06 run-up.
So we're right now the Fed has a balance sheet of, what, $4.5 trillion. What happens if we hit another recession, as you're saying we might?
Well, you know, they could. Policymakers could say that QE4 is the end-all, be-all, and try and launch another round of quantitative easing. But there are two potential impediments. The first is Federal Reserve research shows that QE did a whole lot of nothing to spur economic growth. That's their research, not mine. And the other thing is, Trump has a tremendous opportunity because right now we know of three vacancies on the Federal Reserve Board. That's a seven human being body. Mm-hmm. As of January, there'll be a fourth position, and that's the chair herself. Yellen's term is up at the end of January, and the vice chairman, Stanley Fisher's term is up at the end of June. And there's a good chance that Lael Brainard will follow Daniel Tarullo out the door. She was openly campaigning to be Hillary Clinton's Treasury Secretary. So you're talking about six of seven openings that can be filled and confirmed before the midterm election.
And what does that do? So if you fill those with those of different philosophies, I mean, could the Fed end up being good for America under different leadership, you're saying?
It could certainly end up being a lot better for America than it is right now, because diversity of thought is essential. And it was determined in the aftermath of the financial crisis that the inability to dissent within the Fed was one of the reasons that policymakers didn't see it coming.
What does that mean, inability to dissent? What kept people
from... That means if you're a yes man or a yes woman, please apply. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you can leave your resume at the door. No need to apply. What? If you're going to raise your hand and say, wait a minute, this doesn't pass the sniff test. Mm-hmm. then there's no place for you inside the Fed.
Why do you think it was that kind of environment? We're talking about economics here, not politics, right?
Well, no, I think the two got blurred and confused over time. And part of the problem is that if you look at the original 1913 Federal Reserve Act, it dictates that the president must appoint members to the Federal Reserve from a diversity of industries and geographies.
That's the last thing they ended up with.
They ended up with a bunch of academics who thought the same. So of course they're going to come to the same conclusion.
Those that say we need to just get rid of the Fed altogether, what do you say to that? Is that something that you think could work?
With all due deference, I can see that there's an acute level of frustration with the organization. I get that. But we live in a global, interconnected, complex financial system. And for us to not have a central bank at all, mm-hmm. in my mind, leaves us vulnerable to bigger, more sophisticated banking systems. And I would not want to take the risk in today's day and age of not having a strong and independent central bank looking out for the buying power of the U.S. dollar.
Is it the independent? Is that the key word?
Independent is, you got it. You latched right on.
That's exactly right. You say right now raising interest rates is too much, too late. So then what are we left with? What is the Fed left with?
Not enough. I mean, in 2012, Janet Yellen's favorite indicator that gauges the health of the job market was flashing a bright green light. It was saying green means go. We need to be raising interest rates. And there were those of us on the inside who were arguing for the Fed to be raising interest rates when the economy was strong enough to withstand tightening financial conditions.
Now they're staring down the barrel.
They don't have anything to fight the next recession.
They
haven't raised enough.
What was her hesitation, really? I mean, I know we hear that the unemployment numbers aren't quite right or the inflation isn't quite right. I mean, what really was...
Lord, there was always the excuse... Do FOMC meeting as opposed to the excuse du jour. There was always a reason to push the hold button. Wait, pause. The Chinese said this, uh-huh. so we better not. Wait. There's something going on in Washington.
Are they afraid of being somehow blamed if something goes wrong, or what is it that makes them so nervous?
Well, you know, I think it's fascinating. There was recently a biography published on Greenspan, and after spending several years with him, that was finally the conclusion that came out. He didn't want to disappoint the politicians. He liked being popular.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's kind of frightening to think that that's a driving force. And did you actually see that, though, when you were in the Fed? Was that your sense of how people were being motivated?
I definitely got the sense that a lot of the leadership in the Fed felt that it was doing a noble deed, right? Washington won't do what needs to be done to heal the economy. Mm-hmm. So we're the only game in town. So we better do what Congress won't.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You can facilitate bad behavior with really low interest rates and Congress will just sit back and watch you and let you do its job for you. At some point, the Fed went from being a well-intentioned body of individuals to one that I would say fed complicity with Congress.
Mm-hmm. If you were to give Janet Yellen a grade for being chairperson, what would that be?
Well, let's just put it this way. If I was ever on her Christmas card list, I've been summarily thrown off of it. And for that matter, most of the people inside the Fed.
Oh, really?
I don't know what Janet Yellen's legacy is going to be, and you know, I hate to even say this, but I hate that it's going to happen on a woman's watch, because she'll go down as saying they'll say, "Oh, when they're have a woman running the Fed."
You say it's going to happen. You're talking about the next major recession. Is that it?
Well, look, we've got a more overvalued bond market than we've ever had, and I think a lot of retirees and savers, people who sock their money away every single paycheck in their 401k, yeah. I think they perceive their bond investments to be the safe side of the portfolio. But you've got a more overvalued bond market than you've ever had, high-end residential real estate, commercial real estate, and the stock market is more overvalued than it was at any other time besides 1999 and 2000.
Mm.
which doesn't help me sleep at night.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good combination.
She'll have one heck of a legacy on her hands, that's for sure.
Danielle DiMartino Booth, her brand new book, Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America. You find her at DiMartinoBooth.com. The book, again, Fed Up. Danielle, great to have you on WILS. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great night.